Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Come on in, y'all. Welcome to the Lawyer Henderson Show. Come on in. The number to call in is 516-418-5867. 516-418-5867. We're doing an audio live tonight on the Lawyer Henderson Show, and you can join us. We'll be on for a while. 516-418-5867. The Lawyer Henderson Show is alive, ladies and gentlemen. And what I want you to do is just hang in with me, because we have a good show for you tonight. So just hang in. Here with us. We're doing our audio podcast tonight. This is shaking. I've been so excited to basically come back on this lovely Tuesday night and talk about, you know, the issues here to still face the Black community. Man, it is always a pleasure to have you join me. If you want to join the conversation, 516-418-5867, 516-418-5867, you all who are on YouTube, Instagram, please join me on the Lawyer Henderson Show. Now, today, we're going to be discussing Desperate Times, White Supremacy Confining in Its Bootlicks. Desperate Times, White Supremacy Confining in Its Bootlicks. You understand? And so the white supremacists are basically trying to find ways to see if they have some more Black people out there who's willing to carry water for white power. They're still trying to see that there's certain bootlicks out there that they can still trot out to try to get us to go and vote. They're trying to see if there's going to be some civil rights retreads that they can still have some mileage within, and that these civil rights retreads or these pork chop pastors or any other sellouts and fakers and fraud, as Professor Truth call them, they're trying to see who is going to be able to do the work as far as bringing Black people back into the conversation about voting. And as you know, our youngsters, you know, have turned their backs on the political process this particular election. And they're trying to figure out what can they do to basically get Black people back on the voting train wagon or whatever. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the only one who is really worried about voting is these old Negroes. These old Negroes are the only ones out here wanting to worry about voting, because the white supremacists that they're really afraid of, they think that they're going to get protection from the Democratic Party, and thinking that the Democrats is going to do something for them. They don't want their Social Security check called. You see, the younger black generation and Gen X, and we here in the Generation X, some of us, not all, but some of us, we understand that we've turned our back on voting. Voting has not done anything for us, and basically we've been voting for almost 60 or 70 years, and we have not gotten anything out of voting. And so therefore, they're trying to find ways that they can use to get us back on the voting treadmill, and that's not working. You understand? That is not working. So they're trying to find so many ways, and as the white supremacists have came in, they're trying to basically make sure that they expand white supremacy to a whole new level here. Okay? Now, as you know, that in the news, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, I think about a couple of days ago, or 3 days ago, what have you, probably a week ago, I don't know, but she's kicked the bucket. And now people, the white young millennials, are calling her Notorious RGB. Okay? Here was this white feminist woman who didn't do anything for black folks, who disrespected Colin Kaepernick. And yet you've got people trying to celebrate this woman, and when she basically, along with all of her colleagues on the Supreme Court, has not ruled in not one favor of anything that was good for black people. Okay? You got to watch out when white people sell you on their heroes, because their heroes, regardless of whether or not they're conservative or liberal, will always have the agreement that when it comes to black folks' interests, we just do nothing. You understand? But yeah, this woman kicked the bucket, and now Trump is already out there saying, well, let me go ahead and replace her, and he's going to find somebody, you know, that is going to be real, real, real conservative. And now you have that issue out here. So let's read the article. Ruth Bader Ginsburg deserves better than Notorious RBG cult. Okay, they're saying that she deserved better. Ours is a country where celebrities and – did I read that? Hold on. Yeah, ours is a country where celebrities are increasingly not known for any real accomplishments. Americans are fascinated with people who are famous for being famous, like the Kardashians. So when a legal pioneer and eminent jurist like the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg becomes a POC icon, we might consider that progress of sort. Yet the secular cult that emerged around her hasn't gotten any less creepy. Civility dangerous since her passing. RBG's achievements as a female lawyer and judge are deserving of the adulatory See, here's the thing about her. Let me stop for a minute. Okay, you're telling us that you're going to shine her up and make her into this big pioneer on the Supreme Court, when she was this white supremacist who was not going to do anything about following the law. And, you know, when you talk about the white supremacists, they are known for not following their rules and own laws and constitutions. And this woman, along with John Roberts and all the rest of them that sits on it, even Clarence Thomas, he's a white supremacist and a black skin, none of them has done anything fair, impartial. They have not struck any laws. They have been basically using the Supreme Court for their white supremacist tools. You did? So for the white millennials to celebrate her, try to say that she's notorious, and she's not done anything fair and impartial, and she's never done anything for black folk. You did? Girls will do well to emulate a woman who shattered glass ceilings and forcefully advocate for what she believes. Certainly, she is to be preferred to be like, say, Cardi B, whose profane and sexuality exploitative output has elevated her to a position of culture eminence, while Joe Biden even granted her a rare interview. Then, too, Ginsburg's close personal friendship with the late Justice Antonio Scalia, with whom she often crossed swords over cases, set an example for all of us to follow. Still, the way she was transformed from a respected judge into a notorious RBG says something unpleasant about our culture. The cult that grew up around the diminutive grandmother wasn't so much about honoring her achievements as it was a way for leftists to weaponize her celebrity against their opponents. Now, in retrospect here, you got to look at why the white millennials want to put her on some kind of pedestal. In fact, if you look at it, because white people are so desperate to put certain types of people on the pedestals after they die. See, you look at all of the people who died, especially these politicians that are white, and you see that they have done so much danger in the world, and yet after they die, you know, they got the white media hypes them up as if they were just basically some saints. And that's what they're doing with Ginsburg. She's never, ever done anything that was impartial and fair. In fact, I had a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. You know, and couldn't get four judges to decide to hear my case. There has been a lot of cases that go to the Supreme Court that are good, valuable cases that the Supreme Court never, ever, ever want to hear about unless you're spilling out millions of dollars with attorneys. Pro se plaintiffs never get their chance at the Supreme Court. They barely, rarely get their chances at the Supreme Court. And so for them to say that this woman is somebody to marvel, when she basically knows that she sat on a court system that has not done nothing for civil rights, that has tried to strike down every particular civil rights legislation and other types of things, how does she basically get this, you know, this name sake as being notorious RBG? But anyway, the article goes on to write that still the way she was transformed from a respected judge into the notorious RBG says something unpleasant about our culture, the cult that grew up around diminutive grandmothers wasn't so much about honoring achievements as the way as it was a way for leftists to weaponize her celebrity against their opponents. Okay? That's, I had to read that again. Why? Because now we have the white media white-splaining again. Her celebrity is basically not supposed to be the question here. Okay? Politicians get celebrity, you know, have celebrity status because they're always in the public eye. But when you're known to do that when you're known to supposed to be interpreting policy, when you're supposed to be a jurist that is supposed to be impartial and fair, and yet you have the white media trying to hype you up like you basically was impartial, where you basically did something that was fair and impartial, and the white press trying to say, oh, this is somebody who we should basically, you know, admire and want to be like. This woman called Colin Kaepernick stupid just because he wanted to then bend, you know, to lean, you know, to bend a knee down, you know, on a football field, something that as a Supreme Court justice, she's supposed to basically admire, but yet called him stupid or something like that. And for us to keep on wanting to then, you know, agree with certain types of people who the white media would trot out and say, well, we're supposed to be basically admiring and wanting to aspire like these white supremacists. No way. No way. Article goes on to write that in principle, there is nothing wrong with a Supreme Court justice who inspires sales of I dissent T-shirts, action figures, bobbleheads, coffee mug, and coloring books. But as the distance between the deeply serious cultured jurist and the feminist supreme superhero grew, it became clear that the point of all this fuss was for the leftless dominated pop culture to use her image as a cudgel against conservatives. The nickname, a play on the name of rapper Notorious B.I.G., was a clever device to recast as a revolutionary, a conventional personality working very much within the system. It was used in a fawning biography and then a documentary film that was nominated for an Oscar more because of her politics than anything else. On the Basis of Sex, a dull feature film about her early legal work, was another element in the campaign to elevate her into a symbol of liberal resistance against conservative politicians and judges, and of course, President Trump. The justice seemed to have been amused by her late blooming celebrity and fed it with stunts like doing a workout with the late night left-wing comic Stephen Colbert. Okay? And so here's the thing about Ms. Ginsburg. You have to be very, very, very careful about trying to then hype up feminist propaganda, white supremacy propaganda, when this woman had basically did nothing, as I keep saying, for black people at all. And to compare her with the Notorious B.I.G. is foolish and dumb. It's reprehensible. This woman basically, along with her colleagues, okay, Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, John Roberts, all of the rest of them, even Sonia Sotomayor, I forget if that's her first name or not, and all the rest of them, they basically have struck down Supreme Court decisions, and all the time, 99.9% of the time, these Supreme Court decisions that affect us, they basically said, okay, if it's anything dealing with black folks, Let's ignore the law. Let's ignore all of the 1866 legislation, the civil rights legislation of 1866. Even when Byron Allen went to them and gave them millions of dollars, even, of course, pro se plaintiffs give and spend their money at the Supreme Court. When they do pro se plaintiff litigation, they just take the money and then deny cases of pro se plaintiff. One Ninth Circuit judge who retired had pointed that out. And so you're talking about democracy. There's no democracy here. America, as our leader and our famous elder once said, Dr. John Henry Clark taught us, is that America has never, ever experienced democracy. And the day she does, this country will basically really see the real truth about how both white and these white conservatives and liberals think about black people. This particular situation, this article that some of the white millennials will write, and people who basically has been hired to try to get themselves to think that they have some hip hop culture within themselves, and then turn around and going to write an article to compare her with a great rapper and legend, it's reprehensible. She was a white feminist who hated men. Then she did not want to get justice for anybody that was black skinned. Okay? She was not there talking to her colleagues about the 1866 civil rights legislation. In fact, they were all trying to find ways to ignore it, like they've been doing, like the circuit court judges do. All of them do the same kind and play the same kind of game. The white media has a habit of trying to trot out its own white supremacists and trying to elevate them so that we can aspire to be like people who hate us just because the color of our skin. We're not playing that game because we know what this is about. The article goes on to say that probably even more important to the mythologizing of Ginsburg was her emergence as a character on Saturday Night Live in a series of skits. Comedian Kate McKinnon would play the role justice spewing vulgar abuse at Republicans. "You've been Ginsburg," Ms. McKinnon would shout at her colleagues Justin Brett Kavanaugh. "How edifying." The notorious RBG brand helped fuel the spirit of partisan warfare and the legitimization of those who disagree with her opinions. The brand didn't reflect who she truly was, yet it came to overtake the real person. And as with all the cults, as they describe, of saints, RBG's only gather fever after her death, a ubiquitous sign that popped up, made her memory be for a revolution. Put a twist on the traditional Jewish phase, made the memory of her decease, martyrs say, before a blessing. Now, I'd say that when you start to be fair on the Supreme Court, that's when we will help you celebrate your political icons. Right now, political icons in today's society in America have still being very consistent. They have always been white supremacists who hate us. And we're not going to play this game here. We're not going to play this game with them. 516-418-5867 is the number. 516-418-5867, rather. Now, the Black Agenda Report is coming out. Remember back in June of 2020? Remember they had everybody from the House and the Congress and Nancy Pelosi with her old ass, and they start coming down there, kneeling down on their knees. Y'all remember that? They were kneeling down on their knee. My language is just kind of crazy here tonight. But no, they were kneeling down on their knee. They were trying to then say they respect us. And when Colin Kaepernick did this, now they saw all of this from the white media and think that they're going to give us symbolic gestures. And thinking that that is going to really basically get us to go out to the polls. They had Keisha Bottom B. Bottoms here in Atlanta back on June 10th, 2020, out here faking like she basically is, you know, was marching with us after we had, you know, two black men shot, well, let's say three within that time moment. We had Ahmaud Arbery here in Georgia. Then we had George Floyd. And then we had Rashad Brooks. And then we were just getting off of Breonna Taylor's case. So we had like four cases within the situation of black men getting shot by the enforcement arm of white supremacy, i.e. the police. And one of the things that they were trying to be and get us to believe when we stepped and came to these police departments, they were thinking and trying to get us to say, we feel your pain. No, you don't. Because the good cop who is not saying anything about the bad cop, who is not turning the bad cop in, he or she agrees with that cop, even though they're not saying anything. But in the midst of all this, the black misleadership class, the white supremacist is calling them out to make sure that they got a little bit knowledge and try to get us to believe that we're going to then say, hey, the political process works, so let us go back out into the polls. Let us vote for Joe Biden. Let us vote for Donald Trump. They still think that we're going to go out here and vote for these people. The black millennials have already made it clear that staying at home, and typically what the black millennials do, a lot of the white millennials follow. We've turned our back on the American political structure here. The white supremacists are getting away with murder. They're getting away with all kinds of crimes. The FBI know that they have been that the police departments throughout the nation has been infiltrated with white supremacists that have these, you know, this dangerous talk about killing black folks. They had a sheriff in Arkansas. He was out there talking about, you know, upset with some white lady that he know, I think some friend of his, because she was talking to a black guy. I can't believe you were talking to that nigger. They got him on audio saying that. Remember him? So desperate times call for desperate measures. These white supremacists who have failed in their race is upset because of that failure. See, they're not like the white boys who go out there like Mark Zuckerberg and all these other white people who you know, like Steve Jobs when he was alive. These were white men who succeeded. And the white supremacists are upset because they are flunkies. They have failed. They basically have failed within their own race. That's the reason why they are out here like the guys who shot and killed Ahmaud Arbery. These guys are failures. After they left the district attorney office, well, the dad, after he left the district attorney office, he became a failure. He also represents the enforcement arm of white supremacy and tried to and look at his son. It looked like they were basically just doing, stayed out in, inside some countryside where they picked up hog feed and they were just the only white person in the damn countryside of that town. And they stayed in some old raggedy type, you know, barn. You know what I'm saying? That was not where he didn't have no neighbors. These types of white people, when you see them, that means that they don't have like other minorities within their towns, because they basically have this zombie type looking personality. And that's what these white men who killed Ahmaud Arbery had. These are your real bold white supremacists. They're the ones that goes out and basically do the job for the white supremacists that were the thugs with badges and the administrative arm, which is i.e. the judges and your politicians. So white supremacy has always been built on lies. That's the reason why white supremacy not only need religion, but white supremacy also need is butt dancing, bought and paid for Negroes like D. Ray McKesson, who is gay, LGBT, or whatever you want to call it. See, and the Black Lives Matter organization, these three lesbian black chicks who hate black men, this is who they basically are still trying to get mileage from. And these black political activists like Angela Rod and Simone Sanders, they don't have no more mileage in within them. They cannot mobilize the black collective to try to go out there to the polls because nobody is liking the candidates here. So that means that Trump is going to get back in office. Trump has already basically has reached out to his base and what he's going to do for them and basically said, yeah, he knows that he's going to win. That's the reason why he is basically already ready to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He's already basically appointed almost 200 judges with lifetime appointments to lower and federal courts, and now he's basically is trying to move and evolve white supremacy in a direction of defiance and basically move it to a direction that will defy the opposition and the lies that liberals and other people have been telling us that we are staying in a democracy when we're not. He's elevated himself. We told you last time in other commentaries that the government has refused to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve System, by the way, is not supposed to be printing money. You know that. It's supposed to be Congress that really tell you or tell, you know, or put, you know, who can, you know, put money back into the economy or who can print money or what have you. But when the white supremacists came along, they basically said, no, we're going to take people, white men from Europe, white people from Europe and other types of European countries came and they basically took over the Federal Reserve System and said, this is how you're going to print your money. This is how you're going to do it. You're not going to rely upon the bodies of your politicians to do it. We will run your money supply. So we're going to set up the Federal Reserve System for you. Okay? You're not going to be able to vote for your president. You'll vote for the popular among the two candidates. That's what you're doing. You see, white supremacy taking over and basically understanding that its legacy. Go back and look at my commentary on the legacy of white supremacy. I might have to do it all over again because I think YouTube deleted it on its website.
And I think there's other recordings that I could basically probably put out there for you. But in that commentary, we talked there about how white supremacy believes that they're going to be able to then educate us and thinking that they're going to be ruling over us for decades to come. And yet they're losing as far as this economy, and they're in bed with China and other types of countries. And yet people in the United States who don't even own anything, they're not even trying to give them property so they can buy up and help this country at no cost. They're basically saying that we don't want you black people here. We hate you. We basically, it would be best for you niggas all to be dead. And now they're trying, and now they basically have said, you know, you Hispanics and y'all immigrants, y'all don't complain, but see, we'll pay you under the table. We'll pay you less than a minimum wage. We'll do all of these things for you. We'll even sign this DACA legislation that Obama put in office. We'll give all of this to you. But go in there and try to find a way to displace these niggas. We did the same thing. We did the same thing with the Koreans. Same thing with the Asians. They go into a black community, and they are here to displace Negroes. You understand? And so these white Hispanics, it was in California, Florida, and Texas. They're basically show their racism. See, they only basically talk about this black and brown coalition with black folks when the white people in this country who runs it mess with them, who separate their families at the borders. And yet, in a sense then, that's the only way that they basically want to build a coalition with black people in the country. And so therefore, you got to look at why now we are turning our back on both the Democrats and Republicans. We've turned our back, and the black millennials have been out here in the streets, and we're now all out in the world, and we're seeing enough of us getting shot and killed by the police. And so, therefore, white people do exactly what they always do and what they have been very consistent. One thing that I'll give white people credit on, they have been consistent. White men have been consistent in everything they've done. It's only black people who have been confused, want to play with their mind, thinking that racism does not exist. So these desperate times, you got 41 million of people out of work. The white supremacists basically is trying to get more money. Hell, we're trying to make a decision. You got the white supremacists spewing their rhetoric and racist rhetoric, and you got these bootlicking button bought and paid for Negroes like Simone Sanders out here talking about Joe Biden is who we should be electing, when Joe Biden has not done anything, promised us anything, and he basically won't never promise us and give us nothing. And that's the reason then why we have turned our back on the political structure of this nation. We had two black women who purchased 97 acres of land here in Georgia, and we have to do that as well. Dr. Umar Johnson taught us that we also have to obtain the rights of the ownerships of music and movies. So the white supremacists, when you start, you know, getting all of the things and start owning some a lot of things, and when black people start getting a lot of accolades and stuff like that, that other people have been getting, they have been coming over here, taking all and stealing all of the stuff that we've had. You know, white people are about stealing everything. Okay, remember when we came out of the Civil War, we used the money that we made to purchase land fairly. You understand? In Tulsa, Oklahoma, and other parts, we were very fair in doing things. We were all American. You see, these white boys who go out here, these white supremacists, not all white people, but you know, these white supremacists with these guns, They go out there and they talk about, I'm American. Anybody, I'm going to shoot anybody who comes. I'm American. These are not your real patriots. The real patriots is black people because we fought in every war. I had a white supremacist call me up 2 or 3 months ago, and he said, well, what about the black people? He said, what about the white people when the 9 states was fighting over resources during the Civil War, the beginning of the country? He said, what about them who was fighting against the Confederate to try to, quote unquote, you know, basically save the Union and then therefore end slavery? Should they get reparations? Interesting questions, and my answer is no. No one was wanting you to fight just before you could then basically win, and we get nothing out of the bunch, which is basically what has happened. Okay? The South was defeating Abraham Lincoln in the North during the Civil War, and yet, in a sense, when we helped as black men, because the white men are always calling for us to assist them. So when we went out there and fought, and we thought that we were going to get the land, and we would start to develop these land and properties, we were doing business with white people and white men, of course. We sent black people to the House of Representatives. We did all of that. But then what happened then, when white rage start coming over here, the white supremacists said, no, this is a country of white men. It should be ran by white men only. That's the reason why we know that we're not in a democracy. We're in a republic. The white supremacists love to talk about how they're the true patriots. They're not. Black people are the true patriots because we fought and we died for this nation. And we did things and did everything that white people have asked us to, and now they're ignoring everything that we've asked and we demand as far as our reparations and our tangibles. They're allowing Hispanics and Latinos to come over here, and the Indians who had basically had fallen out when they tried to get them to build up America. They allowed America put a lot of money in Jewish people in Israel. When Israel did nothing for America, they did nothing in America. Trump just basically removed the capital, I think, to Jerusalem, if I'm not mistaken. He did something for them. And America still basically makes sure that Israel is straight, even though nobody from Israel fought in the Civil War like black folks did. You got Mexicans who are getting DACA laws passed during the Obama administration. Obama basically, you know what I'm saying, he was working with the Bushes. They did a lot of things together with his father, with his stepfather. And basically now you got these foreigners who could come over here and they can get this DREAM Act. And they basically are illegals. Now, I agree with Trump on that. But the idea here is that they're getting a lot of tangibles that they didn't work hard for. Caribbean blacks and black immigrants from other countries coming over here taking movie roles from us. And then you want to know why we're mad as hell? We're mad as hell because white people and the white supremacists know that they have turned their back on us. And they've been undermining our demands for reparations for years. They have tricked our parents into thinking that during the civil rights legislation that we were going to get something in return for helping. And at that point, before that was Reconstruction for the 12 years that was going on. Like I said, when this whole thing went down with this white rage, and there was a white supremacist who was upset because we kept money in our neighborhoods, the dollar barely left the community. Again, playing the game of the white man. Doing it, what? Fairly. And yet, basically, again, they destroy our communities. Same thing in Wilmington, Delaware, where old Jim Crow Joe Biden is from. Again, working, playing with white folks and following all of their rules. And then at the same time, after that, again, white rage come and basically run white black people out of the town. Black people had to hide in cemeteries and in swamps because of what? White supremacy coming in, taking control. And so now it's that we're tired now of getting shot and killed by these race soldiers in the street. And it used to be a time, of course, that they will be able to just bring us back on the plantation and all of that stuff and all of the enemies that America has in the world. The reason and other races have fought America. Other countries have fought America. Black people were the only one who did not fight Americans. Other countries have fought in America, and then their citizens can come and basically get all and reap all the benefits that black folks have worked hard for. This is the reason why we're turning our backs on the United States as far as our youngsters. Our youngsters are sick and tired of the lies that the black that the, their black parents are telling them, the LGBT community, they're out here trying to confuse you. The white liberals, they're confusing. The white conservatives, everybody is lying. Black people out here now, the older black generations specifically, are out here arguing over who got the best masters. They got liberals from the left like D. Ray McKasson, and they got, like I said, Simone Sanders from the left side of white supremacy. And then the right side of white supremacy, they got Candace Owens. They got Reverend Jesse B. Peterson, Larry Elder, and Herman Cain, before he passed, he basically proved how he was a diehard conservative and knowing that he was old, went down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, risking his life. Okay, so trotting out their bootlegs, they were able to confine within their bootlegs that they need them to get out there because now the game is changing. Oprah Winfrey, she did nothing for the black people who got killed in Chicago, but all of a sudden she wants to put up almost 26 billboards for Breonna Taylor. You see, she did nothing for black folks. She's been ignoring black people. She's been catering to white folks all the time. All of her staff and writers, and all of them are white. Just like Byron Allen, he's the same way. Married to a white woman, got all these white people on his payroll and done nothing for black people and yet needed our support when he went to the Supreme Court for the 1866 lawsuit that he did with Comcast and now Charter. How many black people is working for this man? How many? We're not going to talk about your films because movies are only temporarily. We're going to ask you how many black people are on the payroll. Let's forget about the black talk because you're married to a white woman. How many black folks are on your payroll, Byron Allen? See, he went to the black media like the Breakfast Clubs. He went to talk to Antonio Moore of Tone Talks. But yet, he basically did all of that to show black people, like again, because black folks are easy to manipulate, because all we want to do is try to integrate with people who hate us. And that has been our biggest problem. But now we have black folks who have turned our back on white supremacy, who turned our back on these bought and paid for Negroes, who's turned our back on these Negroes who've been carrying water for white supremacy, we are no longer listening to them now. And so now they're trying to come out with what is called symbolic symbols. Remember when they basically tried to go across the country and tear down these monuments? That is symbolic gestures. As Dr. Claude Anderson said, we don't need you to turn down your monuments and your Confederate statues. For all we care, you can keep them. Just give us our reparations. Okay? We had nothing to do with Andrew Johnson vetoing the bill. That has nothing to do with us. You still owe us money. Just because some white supremacists reject our demand back in the 1800s does not mean you don't still owe it. You owe it. And basically, you owe us interest on top of that. That's the reason why it's set at $20 trillion right now. Nobody has fought for this country more than black folks have fought for the country. And so white men are behind closed doors making and cutting deals with other people and other races when he does not have the leverage to do so, because he still owes a debt to black people who have basically came over here and who have basically fought for this country. Slavery reparations could cost up to $14 trillion, according to a new calculation by Newsweek. This was early back in when they were talking about reparations, I think in May of 2019, of last year. They said in 1865, towards the end of the Civil War, Union Army General William Sherman promised slaves that they would receive 40 acres and a mule. Land was even set aside, but the promise was recanted by President Andrew Johnson. Ever since, the issues of reparations have come up many times, often fiercely debated. Although most Americans generally don't support reparations, when they say most, they're talking about white folk. You understand? Most Americans, which they mean white people. Okay? Most Americans generally don't support reparations, according to the University of Connecticut researcher Thomas Kramer. It matters greatly how the question is worded. Who would get reparations in what form? For example, the ideal of reparations paid in educational benefits are more popular than others. Okay, there you go, educational benefits. We don't want white people's education no more. Their education is filled with lies. It does not work. It does not basically help us to get to become entrepreneurs. Their education is lies. They got a huge bulk of textbooks of paper of white supremacists writing these textbooks filled with lies. So their education is something that we will pass on. This is what Kramer says. He said that, for example, the ideal of reparations paid in educational benefits are more popular than others, Kramer says. On the other hand, one of the cases often made against reparations is that I'd be impractically difficult to calculate how to fairly take and give so many years after the fact. But in a newspaper published in a journal, Social Science Quarterly, Kramer makes the case that there are other examples of historical reparations paid many decades later after damages were incurred. He also had come up with what he says is the most economically sound estimate to date of what reparation could cost between $5.9 trillion and $14 trillion. No, they owe us $20 trillion because of interest. But going on with this Kramer dude, Kramer came up with those figures by tabulating how many hours all slaves, men, women, and children, worked in the United States from when the country was officially established in 1776 until 1865. When slavery was officially abolished, he multiplied the amount of time that they worked by an average wage prices at that time, within a compounding interest rate of 3% per year. more than making up into the inflation, there's a range because of the amount of time work isn't hard to figure, right? Previous estimates of reparations have ranged from around $36 billion to $10 trillion in 2009, Kramer says. Those calculations mostly look at wealth created by slaves as opposed to service providers, resulted in underestimates. Kramer believes that the economic assumptions underlining his methods are more sound than those used in previous papers. The papers also illustrate several historical examples in which reparations were paid many decades later, despite being initially unpopular, showing the payments of age-old claims is not within the precedent. Okay? So they have been given, like I said, they've been given reparations to the Jewish people. They've given reparations to the Japanese. They're giving reparations to the Native Americans. Like we talked about, half of Oklahoma is now owned by Native Americans. The Supreme Court did rule on that. See, this benign and neglect policy, okay, has been constantly and consistently being what the white supremacists have been all about. Okay, Dr. Umar Johnson said that all white people are racist. Now, in my thing, I did not say that because I know a lot of my listeners, they like to basically clarify me and put me as a black supremacist. But he said, and I said Dr. Umar Johnson said this, all white people are racist. Now, here's what we basically look at that as basically of saying, okay, if all white people are racist, how do we measure their racism? You measure their racism based upon the fact that they don't promise you anything. They don't give you resources. See, white people like to brag about certain types of things as far as, well, we saluted the Indians. We came over here and gave y'all equal education. What are you complaining about? And in fact, you've not given us equal education, okay? White people go all the time to their respective Congress and Senate. They go to the state capitals all across this country, and they beg the politicians and lobby politicians for resources every day, all the time. They do that. They're begging for handouts, but they're going to come and tell black folks, stop begging. All the time that they get a chance to go to these Congress and Senate, like I said, and the state capitals, they out there asking them to pass legislation so that white people can get certain types of handouts. They got free land after the end of the Civil War, and black people had to pay for land. White people will leave Europe and go to African nations, and 2 or 3 months, they already got somebody's property. And then when black people get the power to want the property back, then they're going to try to claim they need reparations. And for what? So I basically have to respect the white man at this point. He's been very consistent of lying, stealing, and getting and taking everything from you. I have to respect that. I can deal with that reality. It has been black people who basically want to integrate and do not want to do things for themselves. See, back in that time in the 1920s, we only had about 22 million black folks, and now we have double that in today's terms in 2020. So there's no excuse. And then we got black folks saying, well, all they're going to do is firebomb our communities and neighborhoods, you see. So we have a people who basically are afraid to build their economic system up. But see, we're not basically looking for the politicians no more. Our kids are not looking at the politicians. See, the baby boomer generation, after Booker T. Washington and Marcus Garvey was, you know, basically pretty much, you know, they basically the motive. I mean, you know, they told Marcus Garvey he had to leave and go back to Jamaica, what have you. And of course, Booker T. Washington and all the others, Frederick Douglass and all them, they basically had an agenda for black folks. The civil rights leaderships, they don't have an agenda. Dr. King, before they killed him, he was about to have an agenda, about to get black people straight because he was about to work with Malcolm X and the white supremacist, race soldiers, and the FBI, like J. Edgar Hoover and all these other people. They said, no, we cannot allow them to basically work together, you know. And if you look at J. Edgar Hoover's interview, when he did his first one of his first interviews, J. Edgar Hoover was telling people that the FBI would not be a law enforcement agency. He was telling people that he will not enforce the fairness of civil rights. This is J. Edgar Hoover. He was basically saying that when they set up the FBI, that it was not going to be a governing body that was going to help anything having to do with law enforcement. And yet he had basically killed off a lot of people with his strategies in the system of white supremacy. It destroyed people because they were helping and they turned their back on the white supremacist system they had set up at that time. So you now have the FBI, who is the enforcement arm of white supremacy. You have the governments, like the Supreme Court, who is supposed to interpret the law, but yet does nothing in retrospect to the law. You have the Federal Reserve System that people think is a federal system, but it's a private entity that basically has been told that and forced white folks in this country to say, we don't care about you wanting to work with these black folks or anybody else. We're going to run your banking system, whether you like it or not. We're going to tell you when you're going to put more money back into the economy, regardless of whether you like it or not. You understand? And so therefore, when these uprisings happen and the COVID-19 virus happened, again, the banks gave themselves and the government gave themselves more money because everybody was asking for loans here. The white supremacists trotted out a lot of people trying to say that their businesses needed money. The Asian people, when we stopped eating in their restaurants, they were out here because they're in the buffer class. They were saying, look, we need loans, we need money. Did they go out there and vote? No. They told these white folks, we need money. We are your buffer class. Hispanics basically also got their fair share of the dealing when they started to then come together and build up their stores and their restaurants and their communities and build these Mexican businesses along with also in other businesses that are American. You only have them now hiring only Hispanics in their businesses. The Koreans and other people also doing what? Making sure that they basically come into the black community, exploit us, and take all our resources out of the neighborhoods. And then yet we up here as black folks with nothing, turning our back on white supremacy and their racist system is the best way to do it. I had actually ripped up my voter. They sent me these voter registration paper. I got one. I can't find the other one. Maybe tomorrow podcast I'll have it, where I have already ripped up my voter's registration paperwork. I don't know why I can't speak today. But yes, I had basically ripped up my voter card, and I had told myself that I am not going to be a Democrat nor a Republican. I am not going to participate no longer in the American political process. I've turned my back on American policy. Anytime that you're in a system where white men, with the exception of one black dude who basically thought like white people, like Barack Obama, anytime you got a system where all of your presidents have been white men, with the exception of one biracial black dude who pretended like he was black, anytime you have a system like that, you are not in a democracy. You're in a republic. And basically they use the same kind of ideals of dictators throughout the countries into which they fight. This is not a democracy by a long shot. How many women have been president in this country? Yeah, they're going to put women on the Supreme Court. They'll put women as judges. And yet they can also engage in their white supremacist rhetoric and ideas, letting their white men know that, yeah, we'll be able to, you know, and that's the fight that white women in this country are having with white men. Why aren't they wanting to basically get white women in office like Hillary Clinton? Because the white woman said, look, we can better manage and control and run white supremacy better than you white men can. It's not about being fair to black folks. It's not about being fair to other minorities. It's about that these white women believe that they can then exercise and enforce white supremacy better than their own men. These are women who are very what? Confident. The enforcement arm of white supremacy, they are making sure that they try to then get along with people because we've already stood up to their guns in the streets. We stood up to the soldiers and stuff, these white supremacists out there trying to basically hit us with bow and arrows. And yet, it is other white people who are what? Attacking the white supremacists. And yet they're accusing black men and black people of doing it. That's how you know that white supremacy is in crisis. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and they're trying to see if they can trot out their bootlegs to try to get us back on a political platform again. You see, this right now, nobody is excited about elections this time around. You got a lot of black folks who already know that Trump is going to win re-election. Why are we engaging in childlike patriotism for Joe Biden? Joe Biden is a white supremacist just like that of Trump. Both of them are not going to give us our reparations. Joe Biden talked about giving us reparations. He said that in order for us to get reparations, we have to include the Native Americans. This is exactly what Elizabeth Warren said when she was running for president. She was the soft core, what I described as the soft core classy white supremacist. This white woman was a very unique classy white supremacy. She is an old white supremacist. She is all up there with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Both of them hate black people. But they can show their white man, though, that only if you elect us in office, we'll show you how we can really control these minorities and these Negroes. That's what we got out here. White women wanting to basically confront their men, saying we can do a better job at running the country and, like I said, expounding on white supremacy better than you. We can better manipulate our bought and paid for Negroes who have been carrying water for us better than you. We can do all of that. And so if you're not going to believe us, then I'll tell you what. We're going to go out here and we're going to basically engage in this feminist movement. You know, we're going to get some black women on our side, and They're going to go after black men, even though black men don't have no power to stop black women from getting jobs. But we're going to bring them on our team anyhow. And so, therefore, we're going to create this coalition that is going to go after, you know, after all of you who basically are not wanting us to basically come on board and enforce white supremacy the way it should be. First, we have to also, you know, try to get you on a scandal, this Me Too movement stuff. This Brett Kavanaugh, who sits on the Supreme Court, he raped me in at high school or at a party somewhere. You see, white women out here saying that we're going to find ways to get into the political structure of this nation because we can do a better job as white women in manipulation, and we can also galvanize towards white supremacy in a way that the white man has not done before. You see, they did the same thing during the 1960s, 30s, and 40s. Not within that time. They did the same thing during slavery. How white men, how white women were manipulating their men. How the white woman was upset and wanted the black woman lynched because the slave master oftentimes wanted a relationship and affair with the female slave. Again, white women upset because the slave master thought that better sex was with the slave instead of what? His own wife. And now, basically, you see them, and I don't really watch porn, but when I see porn, I see these how they like having sex with just one black girl or one black teen, or, you know, you see it all in the Catholic Church, having sex with kids. And the Boy Scout of America, they just being basically still have billions of dollars of access. And been brought down all because they were what? They had a desire to have sex with children. You see, white men trying to find an alternative to their spoiled brat wives now. They even have to then go over and out of countries in order to have relationship because their women in America is so spoiled. You understand? And so therefore, their women here in America are challenging them. Give me power so that I can then basically take white supremacy to a whole new level. We are able to then basically have these bought and paid for Negroes who you all can't fool right now. Only the white women can fool them because people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, oh, she's a feminist, so she understands the black female's plight because we're both women, you see. That's the manipulation that we got going on out here. And so you got to understand here and listen to what's going on where they're wanting to confide and to basically asking the question, will they black bootlicks bring black folks out to the polls? Are we going to basically be, brought to the polls and again, you know, being tricked by the left arm of white supremacy, i.e. the Democratic Party, or the right side of white supremacy, the Republican Party? Are we going to be able to fool these Negroes as they turn their backs on us? They're now demanding things. And we've never, ever had black people what? Demanding things. They're talking about reparations. They're talking about tangibles. These old angry Negroes on social media, these angry Negroes, they basically, oh my man, they're asking for too much. And all we have done was gave them Negroes the right to vote and told them they can go to school and get a good education. That's what we've told their parents. And their parents, we gave them, we used Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, we used them to then have them march. But that somehow seems not to then work for their children. And their children's grandchildren, our children's children, rather. You see, and that is the crisis of white power. Basically, now it's time for them now to say, we're just going to shoot these Negroes out in the streets. And that's what the enforcement of the white supremacy thing that is going to stop us. But what are we doing now? We're still up in the face of the white supremacy. The white supremacists. We're out in the streets. Our young people are facing what? Tanks. They're facing rifles. They're facing guns. They're facing everything that the white supremacy thought that they were going to be able to intimidate it with us with. And they got what? Other white people on their side. That's going to be the crisis that white supremacy has to face. Their children now. It's basically leaning towards our kids, saying that you're white, or you're right. White people, black people have been helping us. We have mobilized and helped the society grow in America. It has not been these immigrants that we're giving this DACA law and all these, tangibles to. It has not been a Jewish people who come over here and manipulate us all by using the Bible. It has not been the Chinese, the buffer class of white supremacy. It has not been the Asians and the Koreans. It has not been any of these people. It has always been black folks who have been dedicated to this society, and that's what they have to now confront. But they're going to see somehow, do they have a little bit knowledge in their bootlicking, bought and paid for Negroes who they've been shrouding out of us. You got Angela Rye already all talking about policies out here. You got people who we basically have not heard from a while. The Black Lives Matters, this is a Democratic backed organization. You know, the not effing around crew, the not fucking around clique, or these black dudes of this militia group. Basically, they're working side by side with the Democrats as well. You see, so you have a lot of things going on. We told you about Grandmaster Jay here. Tariq Nasheed talked about how you got to watch what Grandmaster Jay was out here, basically when someone incidentally got shot at one of the protests that they were at. They out there meeting with the police department and stuff. You're not here to protect black folks. You're here compromising with the enforcement of the white supremacy, and that right there is basically something that we have to look into. That's something that we have to question here. Why are you basically meeting with the police if you're supposed to be against the enforcement of the white power? That basically is questionable. But we have Trump here, of course, who had basically, let's read this article. It says that President Donald Trump has made big changes to the federal judiciary since taking office in 2017. Trump has appointed two Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, as well as nearly 200 other judges with lifetime appointments to lower federal courts. So how does Trump compare with other presidents and a number in personal characteristics of judges he has appointed to the federal bench so far? Below are four charts that compare Trump's record on judicial appointments to those of his recent White House predecessor going back to Jimmy Carter. You understand? It says that Donald Trump, number of active judges have appointed 194. They said that Barack Obama has appointed 312. They said that George W. Bush has appointed 166. They said that Bill Clinton had appointed 87. They said that George H.W. Walker Bush, 14. Ronald Reagan was 18. and Jimmy Carter only appointed one. As of July the 7th, there were 792 active judges serving across the three main tiers of the federal court system: the Supreme Court, 13 Regional Appeals Court, and 91 District Court, governed by the Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution. In his first term, Trump has appointed 194 of those judges, or 24% of total. This is analyst excludes appointees to certain specialized courts, such as the U.S. Court of International Trade, as well as appointees to non-Article 3 territorial courts in Guam, the North Mariana Islands, and Virgin Islands. During his 8 years in office, Barack Obama appointed the largest share of currently active federal judges at 39%. Another two-term President George W. Bush appointed 21. You see? And all in all, we have judges who basically are ignoring the law. They're defying the evidence. They basically do not interpret the law right. What the hell is judicial estoppel? You understand? They basically had adopted stuff here. You see? Now Michigan had put out an article, and it says that in efforts to remedy the financial distress of Michigan City faced after the 2007 recession, the Michigan State Legislature passed 2012 Public Act 436, the Local Financial Stability and Choice Act under PA 436, State-Appointed Emergency Management Act for and in place of local government bodies and assumed all authorities of locally elected officials beyond FISA matters. It was not until 2016 that the PA 436 governed widespread national attention when it was revealed that the decision made by non-elected emergency managers led to the Flint water crisis and is it dramatically impacted some Michigan's most vulnerable residents. Although civil rights groups attempted to challenge the law, they claim to have been unsuccessful. You see, when you basically challenge white supremacy, there's no real challenge because the white supremacists, they don't enforce and interpret the law when it comes to basically you understanding why people who are running the government don't need to really be there because they're white supremacists. Because it's all about I'm white and I say so. It's not about interpretation of the law. You see, we got to get this foolishness out of our minds as black folks. The white people somehow is going to interpret their laws fairly and impartial. They have never done that. In order to keep their system going of this republic and white supremacy, they got to misinterpret the law. They have to deny you rights. They have to also bring other people in. And the ideal here is that what you do with 41 million black folks, you don't want. Black folks are no longer needed to run the society anymore. They've already looked at their black males and said, look, we don't want you all at all. And if we do find black folks, let's say in education, you find them some most of the time, you know, with 4% or less being principals, a lot of them being PE teachers at high schools and middle school or whatever, and then most of your black folks are black men are either bus drivers or janitors. They got black women, of course, in these. This educational system, along with white females. You see, the white man is able to give his women jobs in the education system, as Dr. Umar Johnson pointed out, so that the white woman can miseducate the black child and that her husband can put the black child in jail. That's how they do it in the society. When white supremacy has taken over, during in the 18 and 1900s. And so now black folks are on code now. We are recognizing now that this country is not going to stand behind its rules, its laws. It's not going to interpret its laws fairly. And now we're just going to make a demand until we go back on the polls. And, yeah, they got their bought and paid for Negroes who are going to go out there and smile and think that every black person is on board. Those black people do not make up the majority, the vast majority of black folks who are wanting our tangibles and who's wanting our vote. And they're trying to find out, is there any knowledge of these Negroes out here who's on white supremacy's payroll? And that's not the whole game. This is not going to be a situation where we're going to listen to these bought and paid for Negroes, because we got these pork chop eating pastors, we got them up out of the room. These bought and paid for Negroes is on white supremacy's payroll, we got them up out of the room. These feminist black folks, we got them up out of the room. Your LGBT community, they're not going to be inside the room when we demand our reparations and tangibles. We basically put all of these bought and paid for Negroes who white supremacy depends on, we got them up out of the room because we're making demands strictly for two reasons and points only. Punish the police who kill unarmed black folks, and also punish the Karens who do the same thing, and do what? Give us our reparations. That is going to be the agenda now on, for now on. No longer are we going to then be like our parents' generation and be cowards. We have to go out into the streets and face these white supremacists. We'll do it. Dude, some black guy, some black American, he hit me as I was coming out of the store, dude. You know, here's the thing. These are desperate times. White supremacy is in crisis. They know it. They know that one day we might wake up and find that white people are not controlling this country no more, because we're so indebted with China and other nations here. As W.E. Du Bois said, why not give black men an economic piece of the pie of this nation in order to keep it originally American, instead of allowing other people to come in and take up all of its resources? And this is the reason why American is deindustrializing. We got to look at our time.